In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Jesus said, "Go into the village in front of you. Immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and will send it back here immediately." So far, our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear saints of God, there is usually something in every biblical passage that is surprising. Something that doesn't go just the way that you think that it should. Something that if you or I were writing the story, it would go the exact opposite way. And I think this is a great way to read the Bible, to look for the surprise. That in most passages, what seems out of place? Where is the surprise? Well, in our gospel lesson for today, the triumphal entry, I think those select verses come the surprise. And the surprise therein wonderfully highlights what Advent is all about. I'll explain, but first a few words about the season we call Advent. You maybe didn't stay up late last night lighting fireworks or counting down the seconds to midnight, but today does embark a brand new year. It's a new year according to the church calendar. The new year begins with the season of Advent. And I encourage you to do your best to not view Advent as a pre-Christmas season. And I say do your best because it is rather easy to fall into Christmas mode everywhere you look. The stores, after all, have been selling Christmas decorations since the 4th of July. Every radio station is decking the halls and dreaming of a white Christmas. Now, there's nothing really wrong with that, but I just want you to realize where it comes from. Because the church, historically for centuries, has recognized the celebration of Christmas on December 25th and the following 11 days. Christians always remembered the birth of Jesus as the season after Christmas Day, not before. So how did it ever come to be that Christmas became such a big celebration in the weeks leading up to December 25th? Well, let's just say that the retail stores realize that it puts you in the Christmas gift buying mood when the stores are also decked with boughs of holly. And as it is, by the time we get to December 25th, we've just about had it with Christmas cheer. Well, to be clear, it's certainly no sin to decorate for Christmas a bit early, as long as you don't complain about that we're still singing Christmas hymns January 6th. But what I hope to impart to you is the value of seeing Advent as a season in its own right, distinct from the season of Christmas. Advent means coming, because our God is a God who comes to us. And that is unique about Christianity. You know, sometimes we'll talk about natural religion, and what that means is that there are certain characteristics about God that we think about simply because everyone is a creation of God. This is what Romans 1 is talking about when it says that we are without excuse, that in unrighteousness we suppress the truth, and we do not honor God as we should. And that is that we sort of automatically know certain things about God. It says his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature. So this is why most religions have some sort of a notion about God, that God is supreme, that God is sovereign, that God is all-powerful and he's transcendent. Because it's sort of ingrained in us that this is what God should be like. Sort of like the God in Islam. In Islam, Allah is sovereign, omnipotent, he's omniscient. And what is the religion of Islam all about? Islam means submission. The entire point of Islam is to be entirely yielding to Allah and to His will. Because the all-powerful Allah knows exactly what He's doing. So, if something bad happens or someone you know is suffering, the goal is to finally submit to the fact that Allah wants this to happen and you should be happy with that. So, most religions have the supreme power of God, and the focus is for man's obligation to surrender to this powerful God. But what Christianity centers on is not man's obligation to God, though we do have the commandments, right? Christianity centers on the fact that man, by his transgressions, has made his own death warrant. And that God has too much love for his creation to let the death penalty be carried out. That is what Advent is all about. That our God is not just on his majestic throne, flexing his almighty muscles, but that for you and for your sake and the sake of your salvation, our God comes out of his heavenly splendor and he makes himself low. That he casts aside his almightiness. That he gives up what he has to ensure that you have salvation with him for all eternity. And that's what brings us to the surprise of today's text. If anyone says to you, "Why are you doing this?" say, "The Lord has need of it." There's the surprise. That the Lord has need of it. That our Lord has needs. Not only did he need this colt for the triumphal entry, but our Lord needed food to eat. He needed clothing to keep him warm. As a child, he needed to be taught manners. He needed to be taught how to read. That is one sentence you will not find in the Quran. Allah has need of something. Because how could God be God if he needs something from you? And if our God was dealing with us according to his sovereignty and his almightiness, then he would have no need of us either. But our God deals with us not according to his strength and his power, but because he wants to save sinners from death. We have a God who comes. Who comes to the place where mortals dwell. And this God of ours makes himself so low that he binds himself to the very flesh and blood that he created from the dust of the ground for the sole purpose of having blood to cover over your sins. The Lord has needs because he made himself that low to bring about your salvation. In Advent, we focus about all the comings of the Lord. First, that he comes to us in the incarnation, that God would become a man to live under the law perfectly and in our place be the all-atoning sacrifice for sin. Secondly, we remember that the Lord comes again in glory. And this is observed in that very simple Christian prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus." There's a lot wrong with this world. The evils, the sickness, the death. And what we're waiting for is the Lord to return to inaugurate that new heaven and that new earth where there is no more evil, no more sin, no more sickness, no more death. So we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus." But the other coming that we recognize in Advent is that our Lord comes to us in the here and now in word and sacrament. And that's really the amazing thing about the God that we believe in. Because certainly, 2,000 years ago on the cross, when Christ offers up his life and he says, "It is finished," all of our sins were forgiven. But what if you never knew about it? Our Lord doesn't just atone for our sins and say, "Well, I've done my part, I'll leave the rest for you to figure out." Our Lord not only wins atonement for sin, but he is the one who breaks in to the here and now to give you the gift of faith. That you have heard this good news and you believe its promise. That God has poured water upon your head in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That Jesus has wanted to grant you the assurance of the forgiveness of sins, and so he places that forgiveness in your mouth, in his body and his blood. That our God is in our midst, working among us to give us that which we really need, faith in his promises, in his holy word, and in the gifts that he brings. Advent is an intentionally penitential season. That's something kind of interesting to say, because it's not as if in the season of Pentecost you didn't need to worry about repentance. But now that we're in Advent, now it's something to be concerned about. Of course, we Christians should always be people of repentance. But sometimes, week after week, Sunday after Sunday, it's possible for us to get into kind of a routine, and sometimes that routine makes us less deliberate and less intentional about thinking about our sins. And so seasons like Advent or Lent can serve as a reminder just exactly what we should be doing all the time. But in Advent in particular, it is a penitential season because it remembers our Lord coming. Because our Lord coming can either be good news or bad news. For example, the announcement, "The police are here," depends who you are, whether it's good news or bad news. If you're a customer in the lobby of a bank during a holdup, that's good news. If you're a teenager at a drunken party, that's bad news. The thing is that we cannot look at ourselves and say, "I'm on the right side of God's law," when the Lord comes. That is why our Lord comes to us. So our Lord calls us to preparation for his coming through repentance. That's what the prophets proclaimed as the Messiah was coming. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so we prepare for the Lord's gifts today. As we gather together in this place to receive the Lord's gift together, what is the very first order of business? Confession of sins. "That I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities." And as you approach this table, how is it that you are prepared? The Catechism says, "He who has faith in these words, given and shed for you." For if you do not acknowledge your very own sin, then this meal is not for you. But for you who say, "I am a sinner. I have transgressed. I cannot fix myself," then this Lord's table is exactly for you. And so, as we heard in our gospel lesson for today, the Lord has need of something. He needs a colt to ride to his throne. If Advent means coming, then what we have here is our king coming to take up his kingdom. He's not a king dressed in golden splendor, He's not riding a clad stallion, and his throne is not donned with expensive jewels. Instead, his throne in his kingdom is a splintered wooden cross, where bloody and gory, he establishes his eternal kingdom with sinners. That's why the Lord has need of it. Because we have a God who comes in weakness. A God who comes to save sinners. And that's what he does for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.